In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Hey, shalom, everyone. Welcome to another public reading of Scripture here with Behold Israel. My name is Jason Comans, coming from Southwest USA here in the Las Vegas, Nevada area. So, excited to dive back into the Word with you this evening, West Coast time. We're going to be in the book of Job and in the book of Acts, actually concluding the book and life of Job before we go over to Acts as well. Before I pray, I just want to remind you of a couple things. Our December Bible Experience Tour Group has just wrapped things up today. God is faithful. Everyone is safe, and they're currently all navigating their travels back to their different countries around the world, to their homes. And so we're grateful for it to get another Bible Experience Tour under our belts this year, because as you know, there have been a couple different seasons between COVID and the war with Hamas that have delayed tours for, I mean, almost an accumulative 3 years. So we're excited. Every tour we get to be a part of and lead and bring people to the land of the Bible as a blessing to us, because we never know when we're not going to be able to again. So you can continue to pray over people's safety. Pray over Pastor Mike Golay. He's making his way home as well. And you can continue to pray for Behold Israel as we prepare to launch one of the busiest years of ministry to date in the ministry's history as we head into 2026. Lots of exciting things happening. We're excited to have you by our side through those. So before we jump into the book of Job, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness towards us, God, your goodness towards us, and the empowering presence of your Spirit who guides us into all truth. Lord, you truly do never leave us nor forsake us. We rest in the finished work that your Son has accomplished for us, that we might be redeemed to you and have peace with you today. And Lord, we ask that you'd give us a sensitive spirit of that truth, of the gospel message, the simplicity of it and the purity of it, as we interact with friends in our circles and our families this holiday, this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you want to open your Bible, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Job chapter 42. That is Job Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Keep this in mind. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly. He's going to let Job intercede. Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. That's twice. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first, Yemima, and the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Keren Hapuch. And in all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. You know, this is really interesting that the Lord targets his wrath at these acquaintances of Job, because if you remember throughout this book, and it's a recurring throughout the dialogue, they say so many things that sound right and maybe appear right to the reader as you go through the book of Job. But lo and behold, they say so many things that sound okay. They it seems like they make a lot of theological statements that seem appropriate. Yet here you have, not only were they saying things that were wrong, but they were wrong about what God was doing the whole time. And what do we know to be true is that if we go back to the beginning of this whole account, the first of these 42 chapters, we come to find that what plays out next is the manifestation of a spiritual battle taking place in the unseen realm. And that is what has put Job in this place. And yet his friends, his acquaintances, are sure it's got to be some sin issue that needs to be dealt with. That Job's got some hidden sin. He needs to go before the Lord and make it right. And we come to the end here, and Job acknowledges God's providence in all of this. And God actually says, not only are you speaking correctly, these acquaintances, they're wrong. And yet he allows Job to intercede because he accepts Job. So this whole account is the manifestation, took place because of the manifestation of a spiritual battle taking place in the unseen realm. There's a lot we learn about how the devil works and what spiritual battle looks like, the different shapes and forms and angles it takes on and the angles it comes from. We learn about these very things from the life of Job. Now, we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 4. That is Acts chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, because the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." In other words, we can't deny anything, but we got to make sure this message doesn't go forth. Clearly, a miracle just took place, but let's persecute the source of that instead of considering it. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of the lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts chapter 4. There's some really profound things in this chapter, but what's really cool and you have to keep in mind as we navigate through the book of Acts is, remember, this is a book of the transitional stages of the early church. The Lord ascended in the beginning of the book of Acts. He reminded them of the promise of the Spirit and how the Spirit was going to be functioning in and through this newly formed body of Christ. And what's really cool is how you see that promise manifested in their lives, that when the time came, just like Jesus promised them, if you remember back in Acts chapter 1, they asked, "Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus didn't deny or rebuke their question. He actually affirmed it. And he said, "It's not for you to know the times and that the Father has appointed, but you will be my witnesses, but you will receive power And he was referring to the Spirit. You will receive power, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the ends of the earth. And so now you're seeing that manifested in here, right in the time of need, when Peter and the apostles are about to, and John in this case, are about to address this persecuting crowd and these religious zealots. At the very moment, the Spirit gave them the power they needed to speak the gospel clearly and explain why this message is so critical and timely. And their miracles weren't to make a name for themselves. They were to point back to Jesus Christ, to affirm that it was Christ who commissioned them, to affirm that they have the authority that didn't come in and from themselves, but from God alone. And so as we continue through this book, you're going to see the promises made in the early portion. You're going to see this transitional phase throughout the whole book of Acts that is so cool as you see the Lord set the early church in motion. And next week specifically, when we pick back up with PRS, we're going to be looking into Acts chapter 5, the account of Ananias and Sapphira, a very tragic account. So before we close in prayer, I just wanted to remind you some different upcoming events. First of all, you can go to our website, beholdisrael.org, and if you go to events and tours, you can navigate our online events that are coming up. You can see our teaching around the world, so our speaking tours that are up and coming. For example, this next March, you'll already see some events, but Amir is going to be in Colorado. He's going to be in Southern California, another location in the Southwest, and then he's also going to be in Nevada. So you can see these events on our website, beholdisrael.org. We'll continue with our weekly prayer meetings on Fridays, as well as our public reading of scriptures on Thursdays. One thing to note is that on December 25th and 26th, that's Christmas and the day after Christmas, no PRS and no weekly prayer meeting, as our staff will all be traveling to and from Christmas events and being with family. So no PRS, no weekly prayer meeting on December 25th and 26th. Allow me to pray as we close. Our Father, your word is endless. Your word is living and active. We thank you that there's no inconsistencies, God. There's no contradictions. And just like it's the fool that says in his heart, there is no God, it's us that are in error when we assume that you got something wrong. If we don't understand something, God, we ask that you'd give us the clarity and patience to understand how certain things fit into your word, because your word is perfect and pure, and it's sufficient for all things in life pertaining to life and godliness. God, we confess the times we've taken your word for granted, when so often, especially here in the West, a Bible just, you know, we're so privileged to have 15 Bibles in our home, and 12 of them don't even get opened or touched most of the time, where in some countries, and maybe even people tuning into this, access to a Bible is like pure gold. So Lord, we thank you that in this day and age, with this technology, but also with the spirit of the Antichrist in the world, that we're still able to go forth and read your word publicly, and have thousands join us from all around the world. Lord, we hand what's left of this week back to you. We thank you for your providence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, have a blessed evening and rest of your day, and we will pick up next week. Shalom.